Triple Option in studios this week. We're going to talk about Purdue basketball with the big game against Ohio State. We'll talk about some Colts playoffs as well. Maybe focus on the AFC side of things. Blair Tyler and Harold Gunther all in. Starting with Purdue basketball. Pops, I guess right off the bat, I wrote the article that really Purdue was 10-3, and that's great because last year they were, I think, 6-7 in non-conference was their record. So step ahead. You know, 2 weeks ago you said that you think they needed to win 10 or 11 games in conference to keep tournament hopes alive. But I thought the biggest thing is they played two opponents. They played Butler and Oklahoma State because we don't really know where West Virginia is going to be. And so this game was kind of a identifier to find out what Purdue is. So impressed, not impressed, where you thought they were.
What do you think? Just good enough to lose. You know, I listened to the part of the game on 95.7, and one of the things that, other than Clisby whining about a play that happened, that's just a basketball call, and the guy that does color, you know, saying the ref missed it and making fun of the ref, is like, could you guys be a little bit more professional? But they just turned the ball over too much. And from what I've heard, it sounded like it was more so when they got it down at a post, which if would you have a guy like Hammonds who had 18 points, 16 rebounds, and you can't win? Even, I know Ohio State is undefeated, but quite honestly, has Ohio State played anybody this year?
No, I thought that was the case, too, is that you didn't really know what they were.
No, I don't think you do. I mean, the pundits do, but I don't really care their opinions. This is a game, obviously, I mean, it was 1 point at half. This was a winnable game. And you know, you had plenty of time to get ready for these guys. I mean, you know, if they do anything like that over there, this is a game that I think, honestly, Purdue needed to get some confidence that you could beat these top teams. Because last year they proved when they weren't very good, they could push these teams. But I'm sorry, I'm not passing out the Danny Hope Memorial
Moral Victory
Award. I heard, you know, Ohio State is like, with 10 minutes left to go, slowly started pulling away. Purdue was close, but they're at home. They should be. You got to figure out the way to win games like this. I mean, it's going to be tough on the road, but you got to beat some good teams at home.
Tyler, let me get your initial thoughts before we start dissecting this one a little bit. What did you think? And I guess did this game provide any more insight for you as to what you think about the Purdue basketball team?
The main part I heard from the entire game was that they just couldn't make free throws, especially when they were counting. Especially at the end of the game when Ohio State was giving them the free throw chances and they couldn't make any of them. And that's the shot, and that's the points they're giving you. And if you can't even take those, you can't expect to win the game.
So I think that's not news. They can't make free throws. That's been, a plaguing
since he's been here. Painter.
But looking at some, obviously you mentioned Hammond, so we're going to have to talk about that. But I think one of the big things here is you count on Kendall Stevens to kind of spread the floor, provide some outside shooting, plays 20 minutes, 4 points, no three-pointers made, and I don't think you're not going to win. That's not like a sole determining factor, but that's not going to help. But Hammond's first, Pops, we've been on him all season long, and I think rightfully so, we've stepped back some of the criticism because the offense clearly just wasn't getting him involved, and they got to him early. He clearly dominated an undersized Ohio State team, so I don't know. What do you think of him?
You just wonder if they decided, because I don't think Purdue overall is a good outside shooting team. You got one guy, Stevens, so it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure guard the shooter, you
no.
know? And it might be that they decided, well, we'll just let Hammonds get his points, and then we're going to play maybe the perimeter, you know, because one or the other, that's the kind of way it looked to me. And with if you guard the one guy, I mean, when you only have one guy that's an actual outside threat, it kind of makes it more easier to defend them. But this team has got all sorts of warts. They don't shoot the ball real well. They don't take care of the ball real well. They don't shoot free throws real well. Their defense, I'm not crazy about. And other than that, they're okay, but again, they got to figure out how to get over the hump and beat teams like this. Not saying they can't. I'm saying that's something to where if you could have beat Ohio State, who was ranked third, and you could, whatever they mean now, whatever those rankings mean now, are just
right.
Promotional on commercials for ESPN, you got to beat somebody like this. Because I think if you could do it once, it's going to give you the confidence. Confidence is a funny thing. I mean, it just makes you feel so much better about whatever you're doing that it kind of, it can kind of get you over the hump. And Purdue just, I don't, you know, Ohio State was able to make the plays at the end, take care of the ball, shoot the free throws, make shots. I think one of the things they said was they're 4-for-22 from the 3-point arc. Ohio State, normally when you shoot that bad, you lose, but they made two in the last 6 or 7 or 8 minutes, which were kind of key.
Yeah, the Purdue actually shot better from 3-point line. It was 4-for-22 as Ohio State. Purdue was 3-for-14, not great. technically a better percentage. Do you, you're not going to give out moral victories, but you're talking about confidence here. Do you think Purdue's taking some confidence from this game?
Losing because, by nine?
Well, I mean, for what the against the better teams, Purdue's kind of been a tale of two halves, and so they put together a more complete game, right? I mean, do you think they're taking confidence is my question.
Purdue, they might be. If I was coaching, no, you got to beat these guys. And, you know, who did they play last before, though? Was it Maryland, Eastern Shore,
West Virginia
State
was
University?
Last.
West Virginia was okay. Last. And then it was Maryland, Eastern Shore.
Tech State University. These are the games that if Purdue's close enough to get in the tournament, until they start beating teams like this, their resume is just going to look like, you beat who? I didn't even know they had a university. That's the problem. I'd say no, because you got to beat these teams. And, you know, especially, you're probably not going to go undefeated at home unless you're Michigan State, but a team like Purdue's got to be at least 7-2 at home, which means they're going to have to beat a couple of the big boys.
Tyler, some of your thoughts, I guess, on Hammonds and confidence and just more reactions from this game.
The team seems better than it was last year, and I guess at an okay stance, but it still is a question, is okay good enough to get into even the NIT tournament, let alone getting into the big tournament?
I wrote in my article, Pops, they have, I think, 5 matchups between Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Ohio State. I think they play Ohio State and Wisconsin twice, and that's like 3, 4, and 7. They have Iowa at Iowa, who is the only other team ranked right now. I got to think that Michigan and IU squeak back in at some point, and I think they have 3 games with those two. I think they play Michigan twice, actually. I think they only play I don't think so. I think it's just Michigan.
They play IU twice. He's wrong here.
Whatever you say. But there's going to be opportunities, obviously, to beat ranked teams because some of the Big Ten teams are going to beat each other, and you're going to have some people slide back, other teams climb up. At this point in time, because I don't think Michigan State, obviously, we know who they are. They've played some big boys. Wisconsin, not as much. They started out ranked to begin with. Confidence here. I mean, Iowa, I don't know. You probably don't know a whole lot about Iowa. You haven't seen very much of them. But I wrote in the article that I think that most importantly, that Purdue went, I think, 8-10 last year in conference. They got to own the middle part, the bottom part to begin with, and then they got to get some of those upsets. Do you feel, I got to think that your attitude towards the team's improved since the beginning after the way last year ended.
No, I don't think I think I predicted NIT anyway. I think they can get in the NCAA, but with their resume, they're going to have to take care of business in the Big Ten. And this was, again, I don't mean to make such a big deal out of the first game, but for a team that needs to have an identity, all right, this would have been a perfect start, because I think it could get them on the hump, over the hump, because this going on the road is going to be rough this year. This is a deeper Big Ten, and you know it's not going to be easy. And I mean, in Purdue last year, as bad as they were competitive. So I have no doubt to think that they're competitive. I just question, can they win these big games, I don't want to say big games, but can they beat the top tier teams? And I understand what you're saying, that they need to be really good in the middle. I don't know if they could do that, because I think the middle has gotten better too. I mean, Northwestern sucks. I mean, let's face it, but is there really anybody else out there? Even Nebraska is supposed to be pretty better this year. Maybe Penn State?
No, it's deeper. I guess I was asking if you think they could move up from where they were last year, which was sitting somewhere in the bottom, I guess, fourth, maybe somewhere in the 5-8 range, as opposed to maybe 7-10.
Yeah, they can, but again, I think everyone else, other than Northwestern's taking a step back. But, I mean, if Nebraska's getting better and Iowa's getting better, and, you know, maybe IU's sliding back, I think Purdue's a tick better. I don't know where that puts them. My gut feeling is that they'll be just good enough to be left out of the NCAA, and I think they get in the NIT, but I can't imagine that's the goal here, is to get in the NIT every year. It can't be.
No, absolutely not. Tyler, last thoughts on Purdue basketball before we move on to the Colts.
It just seems like this is probably Painter's last year, because they're not going to – I don't see any kind of well, – he doesn't believe it.
Last year's a stretch.
Fine. Painter's second to last year. I'll go with that.
I'll buy that, Tyler, because Purdue is not known to be buying out contracts. And what has he got left on his deal?
A lot.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, did you see how much Chudnisky has on his contract left?
Yeah, and they're paying what? Yes, they're paying two coaches.
NFL, that's for three sports guys. We'll get into that later.
We have enough pot shots for Cleveland. We don't have to break in with a Cleveland Brown pot shot.
Tyler, I think you just
used... I think Tyler's raring to go to rip Cleveland.
I think you just use these podcasts to insult as many teams as possible. Let's move on to the Colts.
They deserve to be...
The management does... We're getting off topic here. Let's move on to the Colts. We're going to talk about the AFC side of playoffs. We're going to focus on the Colts. Okay, so we were in here a few weeks ago talking about the Colts before the Cardinals game, after the Cardinals game. A lot, we were down. All three of us, I think, agreed that we thought they were going to get beat in round one, regardless if they were 3-4. They've kind of rebounded. They had a good showing against the Chiefs. They finished strong. They get the Chiefs, and I personally think the Chiefs are flat, but are you feeling... A win here? Are you still down? I don't know. I know what he's picking. I'm asking you.
I'm taking the Chiefs in this one. I think they're the better team.
You realize that the Colts beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, right?
Yes, I've not been on the moon, Tyler. I know that they beat them.
All right, just saying. All right, I mean, I like where the Colts are. I think they can beat the Chiefs, and I think they are out of the way of the scariest team right now in the playoffs, and I think that's San Diego.
Okay, Pops. Why are you taking the Chiefs and then thoughts on San Diego?
I just think they're a better team, and I think they might have caught them looking, you know, and the Chiefs were flat. I mean, there's no way they're going to continue playing at the level they were, and I think, you know, they were flat, and the Colts just caught them on one of those Sundays. I mean, I know it's a tired cliche, but on any given Sunday.
Right.
I mean, just, you know, who Tyler predicted Jacksonville to not win a game. I picked the Raiders. They both won 8 games. I mean, could somebody explain that? I mean, if you
Jacksonville won 8 games?
They combined to win 8 games.
Oh, okay, I said they combined to win 8 games.
What?
And actually, they were playing really well, so I think it happened. But I just think in the end, the Chiefs are better. And I think Andy Reid has got experience in the playoffs. He's got the better running game. You could say the passing game and, you know, Bo's hurt. But what does that mean? You know, I think the defense is probably his advantage. The Chiefs, they had some guys get hurt towards the end of the season. I just think that the Chiefs will figure out a way to win this.
Well, who did you pick, Ty? You picked Colts?
I took Colts, especially because they're good at home, and they found a good-ish running game, I guess, a way to run it. They found a way, I guess, to run it like Peyton did, where they ran it when they need to, Luck play actions and does the short game. And they have the swift kind of defense that helps out. They look like what they had with Peyton Manning, and I think they're just going to get past the Chiefs team that just seemed like it's unraveled.
I'm with Tyler. I think the Chiefs have fallen flat. Pops, do you think, this is projecting, but if the Colts didn't lose Reggie Wayne, were they a serious threat to make a run to the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, I think it's possible because clearly I think, you know, with a New England team that I think's hollow because, I mean, I think it's got to be one of Belichick's better coaching jobs to get, I mean, his receivers, what Brady has to work with is just kind of, and Gronkowski got hurt again, that I think they're kind of a weak number two seed. And I think you were looking at towards the end, the Bengals could have got the two, the Colts could have got the two. I think with a Reggie Wayne, because I think that's element of the offense has really hurt. And you can't take advantage of Andrew Luck's arm because his guy last year was Reggie Wayne. And to be honest with you, I think if they want to take a step forward, they got to pair another young receiver with Wayne, kind of like the Bears model. But I don't think it's completely, no, I don't think it's out of the realm to suggest that at all because, you know, you've been extremely skeptical about the Broncos. And I think to a certain extent, you probably can legitimately have some skepticism about the Broncos. So, no, I think they were 40-1 to start the year. If they had Wayne and put $20 on that,
that's big money.
Some cash.
Let's take a step back and look at the rest of Wild Card Weekend on the AFC side. Tyler makes a statement that he thinks that right now the Chargers are the most dangerous team in, did you say the AFC or the playoffs?
I'm going to go with the AFC because I think the NFC is better. But the way I think it is, I think they could easily beat the Bengals just because that defense after they lost Atkins is not as good because that was a premier part of their front rush, which is the better part of their defense. Dalton has never been able to play in a playoff game. He is absolutely terrible. And the offense has a tendency to be extremely inconsistent. And I think that Rivers can lead that offense past that. And if they win, then they would, no matter what, get the Broncos. And McCoy, knowing that offense, plus they beat the Broncos in Denver, I think that there is a road right there to a AFC championship and a Super Bowl that's right in front of them.
Pops, what do you think? Because there, you know, there's this question every year. Do you want the bye week, or do you want to have to play for your lives those last few weeks and get some mojo going heading into the playoffs?
I took the Bengals beginning of the year. I know they lost Atkins, but I just think that they just have a better offense. I know Dalton has kind of fell on his face, but I think this is at home, and I think they'll, you know, I think they'll figure out a way to win this one. I know the Chargers had a nice run, but they got, frankly, had the Chiefs played their starters, they wouldn't even got into playoffs. So I think, you know, dangerous. I don't know. I think Bengals are a better team, and I think they'll win.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk about some of our picks before we go forward even more and talk about the picks we made at the beginning of the year. You picked Bengals and Broncos.
AFC.
Tyler, you had Patriots, I know. And who was your other one?
Seattle.
No, in the AFC.
Oh, I think it was New England. I'm pretty sure it was New England, Houston or something like that.
I think I took Cincinnati over either Denver or New England, I think. So realistically, Pops, let's take a look at the rest of the AFC here just for a little bit. New England, Denver, familiar faces. There's that stat since 2000, no AFC team has represented the Super Bowl except for Baltimore, Indianapolis, New England, and who's the other one I'm missing? Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh are the four. Since 2000, it's been only those four, and you have two of those teams in the playoffs. Realistically, do you think that streak will continue this year? New England, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore.
Yeah, I think it will. I took Denver, and I think that they're...
Denver was not one of the four.
Not one of them, so you were saying you're wrong. Pops is already wrong.
I thought you meant the quarterbacks.
No, the teams.
No, I think...
How does that make any sense? Ben Roethlisberger was drafted to like
04. I'm sorry,
wait,
I'm doing something else, so... No, I think that will change. I think Denver is, you know, honestly, if they don't, this is going to be extremely disappointing because I don't know if Manning is ever going to be able to ratchet up a season like he's had, and everything's falling their way. I mean, you got a kind of a week number two, you know, and I think they have home field, and granted, usually that Mile High is pretty advantageous. Can Peyton play when it gets even colder? That's the question, and I think the answer is yes.
Tyler, what do you think? Pop said no, but he said because he's picking Denver. Realistically, what do you think the chances are? Because you got two of the four in the playoffs.
I'm going to go with yes because I took New England, but right now I feel like it's going to be... I feel like my early picks for the AFC Championship are going to be New England-San Diego, which should be one hell of... Remember that game? Was that... That was the game a couple years ago where Rivers was hurt, right?
He took him to the championship. On like it was 08.
He tore his ACL.
Yeah, he took him that. That was a good game. I think that's something like that's going to happen. It's going to come down the wire again.
Pops, he brings up Rivers. Let me ask you this question. How important do you think quarterbacks are for playoffs? We've talked about the NBA, obviously, extent, and defense is the big game changer once you get into the NBA playoffs. Because we're, you know, we're talking about Manning, his legacy is he choked. We're talking about Brady. You talked about Belichick and Brady, how they've strung together another 12 wins with bits and pieces. I think you saw a few snaps at wide receiver this season. You
Possible.
Have Rivers, who has had a rebound season, was once considered top 10. He's probably still in that conversation. Luck's an up-and-comer. You have Alex Smith, who's game manager. Andy Dalton, who, as Tyler said, can't close the deal in terms of just getting a playoff win. How important is that position in the playoffs?
Well, look at last year. I mean... Flacco made this $100 million contract. Granted, he's won before, but because he won a Super Bowl, and Kaepernick got hot and led his team to Super Bowl, and they went to Atlanta to beat an Atlanta team. So I think it's becoming more and more important. It's just, can you make plays? And some can and some can't.
Opposite side of that, coaching then is bigger? Because I would think that you would have Harbaugh's up there as two of the better coaches.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because, you know, they have experience as far as playing. I don't know, obviously, in the coaching, not the same. But, you know, I would say that's important, too. And I wouldn't give the advantage to Denver because Fox has been to the Super Bowl, but he hasn't won. Obviously, clearly, Belichick has that advantage, but I don't know if that could overcome his lack of skill position players.
I don't even know if that counts, Fox's Super Bowl. It was 04, wasn't it, 03? Which one was it?
Yeah, it was 04 against New England.
I feel like that doesn't really have a count because it's so long ago.
Well, he could remember maybe if he hits himself in the head and say, oh, I remember now.
He's barely a coach. He's more of Peyton Manning's assistant.
Well, like I said, I'm discounting it. I said it means something to a point, but quite honestly, you put him and Belichick in the same room, all the thing they could say they have in common is that they coach in the NFL. That's about it.
Tyler, what do you think in terms of importance for the quarterback position and then whoever's got the headset?
I think the quarterback position is going to come down the more than the headset, mostly because one of the reasons I think Cincinnati can't make it is because of Dalton, which is the big thing. The rest of that team's talented, but Dalton has clearly dragged them to the ground in the playoffs. Rivers is going to push his team. Manning is going to be the Manning with that offense. It's not like they're going to put the ball in anybody else's hands. It's going to be on Manning. Brady might be in the running game, but it's basically going to be in Brady's hand. Half these teams, this team is the quarterback. Look at the Packers. If Aaron Rodgers was on that team would be atrocious.
So realistically, Tyler alluded to it. We're going to talk about the NFC and the three sports guns covering the NFC because they're talking about the Bears. But realistically, I would think you would agree, Pops, yes or no, that the NFC looks a whole lot better this season.
Yeah, I think they're deeper. I mean, when you got a Green Bay team that's going sneaking in, and the fact that they've had Rodgers back, the fact that they got Cobb back, you know, they're not going to get Matthews, but they're good enough to give at least a puncher's chance. You know, and you got a San Francisco team that's going on the road. I mean, you know, and you have the Carolina team. Well, Carolina, I think, is a little bit weak, but I think that's the telling thing. And the Saints team's won before. You know, I mean, it's a lot deeper, and it's almost like you could just, I hate to say dismiss the AFC, but, you know, it's the NFC playoffs should be a lot more entertaining.
Well, you kind of beat me to my point. My question was going to be, regardless of who gets through, the best team in the AFC, it's Denver, you pick Denver, whatever. How much of a chance do you give the AFC to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I think since it's in New York and nobody knows what is going to happen with the weather, there's a thought that maybe a nor'easter could hit it and just really screw this up for Goodell, who wants to... I know why they want to put it there, because it's the media market of the country, but this could blow up. They could win, but they could also lose too. It's tough to say. The weather is I think being in New York and their tendencies to have bad February weather that I haven't. It's tough to say.
I kind of want to jump on that. I agree with him in that it's tough to say until you see the team. I think if it was a snowy game and it was Denver or San Diego, at least those two things, like they struggled. Manning, because I don't know if he can play in the cold. I don't think San Diego could play in cold either. But I think if it was a snowy and it was New England, I'd feel pretty comfortable about that, because New England can play and does play in the cold. So I think it's tough to say, because not all the different teams play differently in cold and warm. Some thrive in it. Like New England seems to, like, they do better in the cold. They can win in the cold.
It's cold up there.
Well, true, but it's cold at Denver, and the Denver team looks like they die in the cold.
Tyler, you know what? They played better this year, so I think you're drawing a lot of conclusions based on stuff that's gone on in the past. Apparently, you know, if that's the case, then there's no reason to even play this, because Manning sucks, Dalton sucks, Rivers is better, so let's just put it on paper that it's a done deal.
Quickly, before we're going to wrap up with the BCS, because we're finally to the end of the bowls.
Oh, goody.
Do you like the fact that it's going to be in New York? We never even talked about this. And so what do you think about that? You're more of a traditionalist. I think you like kind of those awful weathers. But for the biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, do you like the fact that it could be 6 inches of snow and you could have just awful footwork? Or do you want to see fast, 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 speed, speed, speed? I want turf and I want people running 4.4s.
I'd prefer that the team that has the best record hosts this game, but they'll never do that because they have to. They want it in these exotic sites, you know. And this, New York's not exotic per se, but it's just I want it like it used to be, where winning actually meant something and you earned home field. You know what I mean? It never really was. Gotta take it back, because back in the day when I was a kid, they rotated. I personally would like to see that the team with the best record win. If that's never going to happen. I'm hoping for snow, because it will just rain all over Goodell's parade.
I want to see snow, because I think that games in snow are more memorable, especially games in bad weather are generally more memorable than games in good weather. You never remember the game with the perfect weather and everything went fine. You remember the game where it snowed 12 inches and you couldn't see a damn thing the entire time, or that Bears-Colts Super Bowl where it was a monsoon and it was raining. It was like impossible. That's what makes it. I think playing in bad weather is what makes teams prove that they're good, in the sense that the team that wins in bad weather doesn't use the excuse, oh, it was bad weather. They use, well, we got over it.
Well, but there'll be excuses, because they'll say, yeah, if there's snow, there'll be all these morons will come out, this is the first Super Bowl with snow in it. Really? I couldn't figure that out why it didn't snow in California before. But, you know, I just want it because I think it's either you're going to hold it in warm weather, or you're going to give it to the team that has the best record. Not this crap where you want to go up to Minnesota and play in a dome. And you know, I just, to me, I think if that's the case, just pick one site so everybody knows what it is, like New Orleans or Tampa, you know, and just go that way. Or just go two sites, Tampa and New Orleans, and then you could rotate the artificial versus the grass.
What do you think about just doing it in Hawaii always?
I think that's dumb because it's travel issues. You want people to go. You want people to go to hotels. You want people to spend money.
I don't think they'll do that, Tyler, because that's an extremely expensive ticket.
Wait, what about always in L.A. as long as the team's not there?
I got no problem with one site. I think it would be fair because his rotating stuff is just kind of garbage. But, you know, I don't understand why you also want to put it in cold weather sites and – especially now, you want to play it outside in a cold. I like the idea of playing it out in the elements, but if that's the case, Denver has the best record in the NFL. They should be hosting it if they get that far. I'm just saying.
Fair enough. All right, let's wrap it up with the BCS. We're down to the final bowls. We kind of touched on this last week. They're making the picks this week. We're making the playoff picks as well. Those are going up with the normal bowl picks. But Pops, you know, we got two BCSs in the national championship and. Of those three big bowls, two of them are ones that you said you're interested in. You got Alabama, Oklahoma, and you got the national championship, obviously, which everyone's interested in. Now we're closer. I don't know how in tune you are, but we're closer to the Alabama game. I know. But how much do you feel that Alabama is going to show up? Because we were talking about this last week. You said that's one of the things that interests you. You want to know if Alabama is going to show up. And we agree, I think, that they're going to be very unhappy that the season unfolded, that they're not playing for the title. But I did bring up Saban's second year where they got beat by Tim Tebow and they played Utah in the Sugar Bowl and they got beat.
I don't know. I mean, because they were so close and they were so close to such an historical accomplishment that, you know, people are people. They could just mail this one in despite what Saban says because, you know, how do we know he wasn't any closer than what reports were of leaving? I mean, I don't know. I mean, Oklahoma's got all the motivation in the world to win this because, frankly, you know, they're kind of Cinderella at the ball, as opposed to Alabama's like, yeah, okay, ho hum, we're coming down here. We blah blah blah. We're the Sugar Bowl, great. What does this mean? I would hope they do. I'm not convinced they're going to.
Do you think being in SEC country helps?
No.
No.
It's not like it's going to help recruiting because it's Alabama. You know, it's like, hey, we're back in New Orleans. Congratulations. That's kind of the consolation prize.
No, I mean from the standpoint of having some more motivation to play.
I suppose they'll get more people, but I think Oklahoma travels well too. I just don't think so. I think, again, it has to be such a letdown to be so close and to lose in such an excruciating way to your rival that you literally can't stand to be around. And to watch them in a national championship game and you're going to the flipping Sugar Bowl for what?
Tyler, what do you think? Because you kind of got both points. You think they'd be upset because they didn't win the national championship, but humans are humans. They made just, man, whatever. We didn't get where we want to. Who cares?
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to expect a team to go and win the national championship every single year. I get it's Bama, but, I mean, for God's sakes, they won 3-4. It's pretty damn good. And it also serves that son of a bitch, right, who went to
what the hell
Auburn
does have to do with them showing up?
I was talking about the Alabama tree guy that poisoned it. That guy
right. Well,
sucks
what
to
does this have
guy,
to do with them showing up and being motivated to play?
I'm answering what I want to answer. Of course they'll show up. It's New Orleans. It's like beast. Oh god! If they don't show up, you know, if they don't show up, I will personally go to Bama and be like, "Oh, let me play the violin. You only made the Sugar Bowl in one. Poor you on your down year. That must be awful to have a down year, lose one game, and be number three."
Start making some possible trip itineraries, okay? Because I think it's possible that Oklahoma comes out, punches them right in the mouth, and Bama's flat footed. I don't think I know this is not a very good Oklahoma team, but again, they have all the motivation in the world because they're like, really? They won the lottery, so they're going to be happy to be there because, frankly, they shouldn't. Alabama's like, we're playing where?
Okay, last question. Do you think Alabama is good enough then that if Oklahoma punches in the mouth, Alabama could be like, oh, yeah, we have a game and then come back and win?
It depends if you get these guys riled up. I mean, you know, again, they're humans, you know, and people have been known just to, complacency can set in. I mean, you know, maybe how do we know that they weren't complacent against Auburn? I mean, they beat them, what, 49-0 last year? you know, it happens. I mean, it's I'm not suggesting that it's going to happen. I think, but don't be surprised if it doesn't.
Now we're moving on to the national championship. We're closer to it. Any more insights into it now that we're a little bit closer? Opinions changed at all? Anything more interesting stick out to you?
At least two touchdowns.
Just that plain and simple.
Yeah, they're better. I just don't think Florida State has gone up against a team like this. This, you know, because the way they run the ball and you know, granted, supposedly they practice against Winston, but I think Mason is his name, Mason, right?
Trey Mason.
Yeah. I think he's pretty good, too, and I think that they run this so effectively that the coach is the OC, and you've seen how effective they were. It's an impressive run, and I think that I just don't think a non-SEC team is going to beat an SEC team until it actually happens, so I'm going to stick with the SEC.
Which I think is the funniest part, because I'm going to throw this in, because I think it's ridiculous, and Pops would agree with this, is I watched the Sports Center were talking about the BCS Bowl. Lou Holtz's bold prediction is next year there'll be no SEC playoff team in the playoffs because the SEC is the most overrated conference. And I was like, Lou Holtz, you realize they've won the last six. Kind of hard to say that they're overrated when they've never lost in six. Mr. I love Notre Dame, who got their asses whooped in front of everybody. So bring it down a tick as far as they won't make. Let's prove that they could lose the national championship before you start saying that, Holtz. So I'll pile on top of that because I know you agree that it's ridiculous.
Lou Holtz and Mike Ditka are the poster child for either Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or just senility. I don't care what either one of these guys have to say, and somehow ESPN does.
My last question then for this before we wrap it up then. With the playoff system, you would think that that would favor the SEC, right? Because now they don't have to necessarily go undefeated to squeak a guy or two teams in.
Well, yeah, but you wonder let's say your best two teams are meeting in the SEC championship, or is one going to be penalized and lose out to, you know, let's say the Big Ten, for example, might not have their two best teams in, and one of the teams that's not in, if when the SEC school loses, or just anybody example, can get in just because they didn't play and lose the conference championship game versus that. I really think that needs to be taken into serious consideration, because you could make a case that Missouri could have been easily, if you did playoffs this year, they could have been in too, because I mean that's what I'm afraid is going to hurt teams. I mean, if you really want the best of the best, you know, that's what you're going to do. But I think there's a committee of 13 that are there's a committee of 13, and Condoleezza freaking Rice is on it.
I don't know.
I think a point can be made. If you look back the few years, there's probably a likely chance that of the 7 years, I guess, now that the SEC would have a team in the national championship, that probably I would bet good money that a majority of those years, if you took the top four or whatever teams, there's probably two SEC teams each year. If not every year. I know at least this year. I know last year. I know the year before.
Heck, there was the year with LSU and Alabama. Arkansas was number three like the last week of the season.
Yeah, there you go. At least just about every year there's one, two. And it's just ridiculous that people still, they're still overrated. When you start seeing, I want to see it when they do the playoffs and year in and year out, it's SEC national championship every year. Everyone's going to be like, everyone's getting their chance. You can't keep saying they're overrated if everybody's losing continually. Everyone's getting the playoff game. The SEC is getting their bye week, beating everybody to go to the real game.
I honestly think that you'll see this expanded to eight pretty quick.
It'll be because everybody's complaining that the SEC is winning them all again.
The SEC, is there a limit on how many they can get in?
I have not seen that yet, and that was one of my initial questions when they released it, because that would seem to be counterintuitive to what the whole purpose was. You were supposed to get the four best teams in to play for the national championship.
I don't care what they say, there'll be biasness going in to this decision, and some legitimate team is going to get set on the sidelines because somebody like Notre Dame or somebody like that sells more tickets to the damn bowl, to one of the semifinal bowl game. And I think that's why one of the reasons you'll see expanded. Plus, like, if let's say the SEC has a year where they get three in, people are going to be just screaming off the top of their heads. But you know what? You want the best? Put the best in.
Lastly, before this is actually the last question. Do you know, I asked if the playoff favors them because now you can get teams in a little bit easier. But at the same time, is the SEC even scarier now? Because I got to think, Tyler said he predicted Auburn, but I got to think that nobody saw Auburn and Missouri being this good this quick. And maybe they take a step back to where they're not top five teams, but you know what you have in Alabama. You know what you have in LSU. South Carolina is going to be top 10, top 15. You got to think that Florida is going to eventually find the right person and come back to dominance or at least pertinence because they are Florida. The SEC even scarier now than it was last year?
In theory, but again, I'd like to see how they're going to address, as the example I just gave, if your two best teams are in the SEC championship and let's say the loser falls out of the top four when clearly they're one of the best teams, that's the only thing that concerns me because I think that could happen. That scenario is more likely for the SEC than clearly everybody else combined, and that would be really a shame. That if they lose a team because they lost in championship, and if they don't, then is the SEC championship game going to lose meaning? You know, let's say it's Auburn. Okay, let's say it's Auburn and Georgia for argument's sake, and let's say Auburn wins, but Georgia was the top ranked team, and they get in. Does that make the SEC? Would that make the SEC championship game meaningless when it's been clearly the best playoff game in college football going forward? Probably better. That game's been better than the recent BCS championship games. That would be a shame.
Valid question. That's going to do it. We're making the picks on the BCS, the NFL playoffs as well. 3sportsguns.com, the about page, has the QR scanner for the Android app. All the podcasts are available on iTunes. 3sportsguns.com for the articles, Facebook and Twitter as well. And for the triple option this week, I'm Blair Gunther.
Tyler Gunther.
Harold Gunther.
Watch out for the pitch.